Hope you guys are enjoying the first Sunday of Lent, as we're allowed to have back what we've given up today. I'm looking forward to lunch today. It's going to be great. But as we start today, if you can turn to page D in your books, let's start off with confession. As we recognize in this season that we are dust and that we need the breath of life, we need to be restored and recreated and forgiven. So if you can all say with me the prayer of confession. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord, I ask that you be with us, fill us with your Spirit, allow us to rest in your word today. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. You can be seated. And for today's reading is in Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. And I was wondering if Matthew could read this passage for us. Sends the reading of God's word. Dear God. Thank you, Matt. Lord, thank you for meeting with us today. I ask that you fill us with your Holy Spirit, that you clear our minds, still our thoughts. Allow us to hear your word clearly through whatever means necessary. Lord, thank you for being with us. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. Thank you, Marcia, for that reinforcement of God's word. So we are starting. We are in the beginning of Lent. And every time this season comes around, I am always confronted with one question. Why are we doing this again? Because the moment I start to feel the loss of whatever I fasted, I immediately have to engage, why am I doing this? For what point and purpose? What is this doing? What does this self-denial have to do with who I am? And what I recognize, what God starts to reveal to me, is this is just another way that he reminds us of who we are. This is him saying to us, remember who you are. Which I can only ever think of Mufasa saying that to his son. Which, thank you, Miranda, for making that connection. But it's a good connection. The words of the Father say to us, the lost children who have turned their back on everything we were made to be, speaks to us and says, remember who you are. Because we easily forget. It is easy for us to forget. It is our default setting to forget who we are supposed to be. And so when we need to remember who we are, who do we turn to? Jesus? Thank you. Yes, we turn to Christ and we look at who he is, what he's doing, and who he says we are. So we see in the beginning of our passage, Jesus is led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil, and after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, this is where we get Lent from. Lent means 40. It's mirroring this fast. He was hungry. Jesus was hungry. He enters into our weakness, our suffering. He was a man, and he's hungry. And of course, it's at this moment in his weakness that who comes strolling up? The devil. This is always when he shows up. Oh, you've been fasting for 40 days in the wilderness? You've been isolated, alone, hungry, hot, thirsty? Oh yeah, this is the perfect time to start having a conversation. And the tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. What's Satan doing? He's doing what he's always done, casting doubt on God's word. What happened to Jesus right before these 40 days? He was baptized. And in his baptism, he receives the audible voice of the Father from heaven saying, this is my Son with whom I am well pleased. He receives his identity from the very mouth of God. And Satan's first question is, who are you? Prove it. If you're the Son of God, prove it. Prove that you're worth that title. Show me. You're hungry. Provide bread in the wilderness. That's something God would do. Show me that you're his son. This is the attack that we are all under. This is our default setting. So we are trying to prove our worth to God, to one another. Because we can't trust what God says about us, who God says we are. This is our natural setting, is to not trust God or his word. So we have to prove ourselves. That's what the world is constantly demanding. That's what Satan's demanding. Prove your worth. Prove that you're worth loving, that you're worth caring about, that you're worth God's time. Prove it. This is where Jesus does the thing that we are incapable of. And he does it as one of us, for us. He says, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. He says, I know who I am. and I don't have to prove it to you. The words of God define my reality. I don't have to prove it. I just know it. And he invites us now into that reality and says, you do not have to prove your worth anymore. You get to receive your worth from God. You're worth loving because God says you are. In your baptism, God says, you are my child with whom I am well pleased. That's who I say you are. And he doesn't require proof from us. We just receive it. So Jesus, in this moment, wins back our identity as children of God. Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot on a stone. The devil takes Jesus to the top of the temple, takes him out of the wilderness into Jerusalem, and perches him on the very peak of the temple, the center of godly worship. And his challenge to him is, how certain are you of this plan that God has for you? I know who you are. I know you're the Messiah, and I know roughly that the Messiah is supposed to save God's people, restore them. But this plan God has you on doesn't look so great. Because I found you starving in a wilderness. How are you supposed to lead people when you start off starving in a wilderness? What kind of plan is that? How sure are you in this plan? How about we jumpstart it by jumping off the top of the temple and having you descend in front of all of these faithful followers? Descend and touch down on the ground on the wings of angels. People would follow you then. How about you secure your own future? Don't trust the plan of God. If it's starting in the desert, starving, I can only imagine where it ends. Who are you? Are you the Messiah? Then why don't you show it to everyone? Why don't you show them your power? Why don't you secure your own future? And as broken humans, this is what we attempt to do. This is how we operate. So we try to secure our own future apart from God. Because when we look at the cross, we only see death and suffering and pain, and that is not attractive. Jesus responds to Satan, and in his response secures our future. He says, again, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. I know who I am. I know what I'm doing. I am secure in God's plan. And so he lifts off of us the pressure to secure our own futures and says, you are people who can rest in the work of Christ. You rest securely in Christ's work. And now you can look beyond the cross and see what's behind it. Resurrection, recreation, an end to suffering. We can endure suffering now because we know what lies behind it with Christ. Peace, a world made new and right. Now the devil flexes on Jesus, tries to show him his power. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these I will give you if you fall down and worship me." So he takes him from the temple, takes him to a mountain, and miraculously displays to him all of the kingdoms of the earth. Something that is not possible. But Satan is showing Christ his power and his dominion. It says, I know who you are. You're supposed to conquer this world. You came here for the earth, right? So why don't you just take it? Worship me and I'll give it to you. Just take it. Use it. And together we will reshape it on our own terms. We will recreate the world in our own image. We don't need God for this. Just take it. And this is how we operate with one another. This is our default setting, is take what you can get. Use the creation, use your neighbor for your own comfort, for your own glory. Take what you can get. And Christ resets us here and says, "No, I know what your purpose is. I know what my purpose is, and I didn't come to take this world, but to serve it, to love it, to care for it." He says, "Be gone, Satan, for it is written, 'You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve.'" Jesus says, "I know my purpose. I know God's purpose for this world. And it isn't just to take what he can get out of it. It's to love it, care for it." And we now are transformed from people who take what we can get, are now empowered by the Holy Spirit to love one another. To not just try to appease our own suffering, but engage the suffering of those around us and lift them up to Christ. Who are we? We're children of the Father, secure in the works of Christ, empowered by the Holy Spirit to love one another. How does this look on a daily basis for us? Looks like Zenon. 4-year-old Zenon walking in to the cabin Sunday morning for prayer. Last week, we're starting our prayer for the church, and it's kind of intense. We read a passage, we sit in silence for 5 minutes. Adam or myself goes around, we pray for each person in the room by name, and then we go around and we read the prayer requests that you put on the board. This little 4-year-old waltzes into the room. Immediately all the adults are like, "Are you in the right place? We're about to pray. Are you sure you want to be in here?" "Yep." And he just waltzes in and plops down into one of the armchairs. secure that he's supposed to be there. Say, okay, well, we're going to pray now. Okay. Okay, well, we're going to sit here in silence for 5 minutes. Okay. So we close our eyes and we sit for 5 minutes. And I don't hear anything. I just assume that eventually he's just going to get up and walk out and do his thing. So why wouldn't he? He's four. But at the end of 5 minutes, I open my eyes and there he is. Completely at rest. So then I go around and I start praying for everyone by name. And I get to Zenon and I say, Zenon, yes? Oh, wow, I didn't expect a response. Okay, Zenon, God smiles when he sees you. He's proud of you. You are a good son. In that moment, he knows who he is. He's receiving the word of God. He's secure in the plan for that moment. He's able to sit through it because he knows it's going to end. And then we go around and we pass the prayer requests to pray for all of you. And it gets to Zenon and someone asks him, wait, can you read? No. Oh, okay. Well, after each prayer, we say, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Can you say, hear our prayer? Uh-huh. All right. And so we go around, and he says with us, hear our prayers, hear our prayers. And in that small, ordinary way, he is loving you guys. He's doing what he can to serve this church as a four-year-old. That's how simple this plan is. That's how simple this identity that Christ has won for us. I know who you are. You're people who receive the words of the Father, who rest in the work of Christ, and are able to love by the power of the Spirit in normal, ordinary ways, like a four-year-old praying for his church. Who are you? You're Christians. That's who you are. Lord, I ask for forgiveness. I ask that you forgive us for the times that we've forgotten who we are, for the times that we've doubted your word, that we have not trusted in your plan, and that we have not loved each other. I ask, Lord, that you forgive us, and that we now receive who we are from you. We are your children with whom you are well pleased, who are secure enough in our futures that we can actually care for one another. Thank you, Lord, for making it simple for us. We don't have to go out and do grand gestures to prove our worth. But we can simply receive our identity from you and care for one another. Thank you, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. So right now we'll pass the offering. But while we're doing that, I want us to take a moment to actually announce to one another who we are and what we believe and reinforce our identity with one another. So, if you need it, on page B, we will say the Apostles' Creed with one another as we pass the plate. Christians, what is it that you believe? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. That's who you are. To further reinforce our identities, Christ has given us himself, a meal, which continues to remind us, you are worth dying for. You are worth loving. And we get to come and have a meal with our Creator as a family and be anchored to the reality of God's Word and remember who we are. So our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, when his disciples forgot who they were, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me." Remember me. Because Jesus knows who you are. He remembers who you are and what he's done for you. So in this moment, we remember who he is. Lord, I ask that you be with us, that you sustain us and nurture us with your word, with your body, with your blood, that throughout this Lenten season, we can be anchored in our identity, that we can be sustained by your word, and remember who we are because of you. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. When you are ready, you can come up to myself or Adam. Wine is on the outside, grape juice in the middle. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace, now and forever. Amen.